The whole time. Don't stop. Gosh, Karen, I love having you at that piano. We're blessed, folks. We are truly blessed. We have a wonderful worship team that just lifts our spirits. It's good to be here today. Now, I'm going to share something and then I'm going to move on into the message. You have heard us, and we know there's some people have been curious for a long time. Where is Sherry?
Sherry.
Yeah, okay. Now, Sherry, you have been wondering. I know you have been staying awake nights and you have been asking and trying to figure out, what is this IF team? Well, I'm not going to tell you. But here's the way we're going to do this today. We want you to get to know who the IF team is, and you're going to see there's some here today that have their shirts on, me and John, there's some. But we have the shirts here, and it is about the IF team. Very special group of people who have been studying how to let God make a real difference in their life and in the life of the church. And I'm not going to tell you all about the program, because part of what I want them to do is I want them to tell you. And every one of them, when I said something about that, said, "We're not going to have to get up front, are we?" I said, "No, because it's one-on-one." And so after the service today, and I'm going to introduce them to you here in a minute. After the service today, I would really enjoy, and they would enjoy, if you would ask them the questions. What is the IF team? Why are you a part of it? What is it going to do? And here's the biggie. I'd like to be a part of it. Because what I don't want anybody to think, this is not some elite group. This is the church. And if we could end up with the entire church excited and motivated and moving forward and learning and growing the way the IF team has started off, I'm telling you, there would be a new fire ignited in this church. There would be a new fire ignited in this community. There would be fires ignited in the hearts of people throughout this body. And so I want you to find out about it. I want you to be a part of it. We have several things coming up, and you'll hear about more of them later on as they happen. But take time following the service today to talk to the members of the team. Several are not here today. But I'm just going to, because I want you to connect faces, I'm going to just ask that as I tell you who's on the team, if they just stand up for a minute. And we're not even going to have to applaud for them, because they don't want applause. It's interesting. One of the things we look at is not the applause of man, rather we look at the applause of heaven. Isn't that right? Isn't that why the praise team does what they do? And everybody else in the church. So with that, I want to say one person on the IF team is so special, incredibly special. She has so much to contribute. She's got administrative skills, and she's got a heart that knows how to love, and she did a great job raising my children. Donna, would you stand up? Okay, you don't have to clap, but I just want to see. Donna doesn't have her shirt on, but she will. Oh, hers isn't in yet. Okay. But she's a part of the team. Now remember, after the service, I want you to talk to these guys. They want to talk to you, because we want people to be excited and be a part. You can sit down, honey. Okay? We want people to be excited. The next person that I'm going to introduce, there's a spiritual gift. It is called the gift of exhortation. And this spiritual gift means that you make people have the ability to encourage others in who they are in Christ, to make them feel good in who they are. And a person with that gift just exudes this idea of positive and being positive. And when you're around a person like this, you just feel blessed. And if you're down, they're going to lift you up. In some cases, if you say something or you get off track on something, they're going to bring you back in where you should be. They'll reel you in a little bit. We have somebody on the team that is like that, and I absolutely love him. John Chug, just stand up for a minute. All you got to do, folks, is spend a minute with John, and you're going to go home feeling good about who you are in Christ. It's just the way it works. John, thank you. You can sit down. Like I said, some of the other team members aren't here, so I'm only introducing the ones that are. The next person, wow. You know, when God sends people to the church, they don't always know where they're going to fit in and what their role is going to be and what they're going to do. But as they're in the church and as they're participating in the church, God begins to reveal to them, this is where I can use you. This is where you can serve. And they serve willingly. They serve with a smile on their face. They serve with maybe nothing more than a hug. Now, guys, as you're hearing this, I want you to be thinking, I can do that. Okay? The next IF team member I want to introduce is Julie. Would you stand up? Julie is such, she has a servant's heart, and she has a beautiful smile, and she has the Spirit of God in her, and she's a big part of the team. Others that are not here, and I wish they were, but some had to work in this. We have Sue Earhart, and she had to work today. She couldn't be here. Sue brings a lot to the team, and we're so glad to have her. We've also had Rob and Renee Sisler have been a part of the team. So that's it. That's it. And that's really all I'm going to share with you this morning. I want you to find out what the IF team is all about, but I want you to do it by asking them. Donna, John, and Julie. After the service, don't get out of here without talking to them. Let them share. And then I'd like for you to begin to think, could I do this? Is this something I can get into? It's non-threatening. You know what? Our meetings, I cannot think of another meeting that we have in the church that laughs as much as we do at our team meetings. It's hilarious. Almost to the point of tears. And it's just an encouragement. Very positive. We look forward to seeing others participate and be a part of this. So please do take that time to get to know them. Okay, today I am surrounded, and I know I am surrounded by a wonderful, wonderful group of Bible scholars. I know that you all have been paying attention to the messages I've preached for all the years I've been here. I saw that too, Gene, but I think we'll be okay. The flicker. And so today, it all comes together. And I'm going to give you a quiz. Now, Ed, as a teacher, this isn't the type of quiz you would have given, but I'm not a real, you know, professional teacher like you were. But this is the quiz that I'm going to give, and I want you to have the answers. And this is an open book if you want it to be. But if you're going to do an open book test, you better be pretty fast, because I'm not going to slow down on this. I'm going to ask some questions. And by the way, everybody in here, if you know the answer, throw your hand up. And that way we can see if you got the right answer. Are you ready to take a quiz? Are you ready to learn something about the Bible if you didn't know it, or to see how much you know about the Bible? Everybody's going, yes? All right. Now if you don't give me answers, I'm going to have to call on individuals. That's how you do it, right, Ed? Yeah. Eric, please. Yes. Ed's going to agree with anything I say just so I don't call on him. Thank you. All right. Question number one on your Bible quiz today. I want us to have fun with this, okay? Jesus said, all right, now we've narrowed it down to the Bible. Jesus said, you of little blank, why are you... Okay. I said, raise your hand. We're going to send you to the principal's office where Ed's going to talk to you. Okay, Jesus said, you of little faith, somebody already answered, why are you afraid? Very good, you got that. There's one right. And by the way, if you get one right, the whole group gets a point for it. All right? Question number two. Jesus said to a paralytic man, take heart, your sins are forgiven. And what did Jesus see in the man and his friends that allowed him to make this statement? You didn't raise your hand. Faith. Who said that? Oh. All right. You guys got 2 points, even though I'm not sure about how legal they are. But all right. Jesus said to this man, oh, you of little blank. Faith. All right, there's 3 points. Why did you doubt? Who was the man? Who was the man? Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. I bet he wasn't. Nope. I could walk on water if I keep my eyes on God. Oh, good, you got it. I'll give you that point, and I'm not going to sing anymore. Okay, so far you guys are doing pretty good. Jesus said, at that time, many will turn away from the blank and will betray and hate each other. What was the blank? And what was the event he was talking about? You want me to ask it again? A little harder question. Jesus said, at that time, many will turn away from the blank and will betray and hate each other. What is the blank and what is the time he was referring to? Da, 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 da. Oh, my. All right. How many of you in this room went through the study on Revelation with me? T. Okay. And what? Like maybe tribulation?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give it to you. Had to work you a little bit on that one. Jesus said, if you have the blank as small as a blank, what would you be able to do? I need the blanks and I need the what would you be able to do? Mary. Okay. And what would you be able to do? Oh, Eric's got this one. Move a mountain. I got to tell you, and some of you have told this story. Outside of Jerusalem, there is Mount Herodias, named after King Herod. Now, Jesus was walking with the people, and he was talking about this, and the mustard seed. Mustard seed is very, very, very tiny. If I had one on the speck of my finger up here, it'd be hard for me to see, and you couldn't see it. Tiniest of seeds. And Jesus said, all you need is that much faith, and you'll be able to move mountains. And what had happened is Herod had looked, and there was a mountain over here. And he wanted to build his castle, his palace, on top of the mountain. But he decided that he did not like where that mountain was. Now Jesus is walking, he's talking to people, he's sharing this story. And he says, you would be able to say to this mountain, be moved from here to here, and it would happen. Herod had an entire mountain moved from this place to this place. He built his palace on top of it. It's called Herodias. And that is where he had his palace. He had faith in himself. It wasn't faith in God. He was of the world. He wasn't of God. And yet, just that little bit of faith, you could do. so many great things. Good job. Okay. I'm not going to say final question, but we're getting down here. Who can tell me what did all of these questions have in common? You didn't raise your hand. Faith. Faith. That's what all of these questions had in common. And by the way, guys, that's what you all have in common. Faith. And faith is that great, powerful strength that we have in the Lord. The problem is, the longer we're in the battle, that flame of faith that once existed begins to go down. And sometimes what was once a roaring flame for God becomes nothing more than a dull ember. But understand this, even an ember has life in it. We become tired. And at times, we just feel like giving up. Just give up. I'm tired. I've been in the battle too long. I've been at this church for X number of years, and we've tried this, and we've tried this, and we've tried this, and I am just so, you know, I've been in every program. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I've been a council member. I've been on this committee, that committee, done this, done that, and trying to see the church grow. And, oh, I'm just, what's the point? And it happens, doesn't it? Isn't that the reality? And there's some today who are maybe feeling like that. Okay, well, I made it to church. Some even go, well, I made it to church. I wish the pastor would shut up so I can go home. I wish he'd get done and be quiet so I can go do something fun. I want you to know something. There's good news today. And the good news is this. God isn't done with you. You may think he is. You may think he's used you all he can use you, but he's not done with you. And what he wants to do in you is he wants to renew your spirit. God wants to take and fan that flame or fan that ember to where it comes to flame and where that fire once again burns in you as his child, as his ambassador in the world. And all of that is done simply through faith. It's the key. So the question we struggle with, the question that we have to answer is, what is faith? I didn't see any hands go up. I apologize. My mouth is so dry today. Please forgive me. Well, as usual, Scripture gives us the definition. If we were to look at Hebrews 11:1, and I've asked Dan to put these passages up on the screen because sometimes people don't get through their Bibles fast enough. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. What does it say? Now, faith, I hope I'm reading the right way. Is that sure? Okay, good. I want to know, he had the same translation I did. Thank you, Dan. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Being sure. No doubt. I know. That is the faith. It is, I am sure of what I hope for. What do I hope for? I hope for that life with God. I hope for eternal life. I hope to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I hope to be able to go out and be His ambassador, His arms, His eyes, His legs, His ears in the world, and just share Him with everybody. And I am sure of that hope. And it's more than hope, it's knowledge. I know that I have an eternal home. I know that I have purpose on this earth. And I don't always feel like it, but I know it's there because I know and have hope in God. And the faith that He gives me is there. And certain of what I do not see. You know what? The closest I've ever come to seeing God are artist renditions. I've never seen His face, but I am certain of God. Why? Because of what He's done in here. Listen to me, guys. This is where God works. This is where we see Him. This is where we know Him. I am certain that He has made a change in my life. I am certain that I'm not the same man today that I was 50 years ago. 40 years ago. I'm certain of this. I'm certain that the life I live today is not the life I started out with. Why? Because I'm certain of God and that He is in me. And through faith, that is believing that and knowing that and certain of that and sure of that, that God makes a difference in my life. And He does in yours too. The problem is we sit here and we don't think about this. We forget about faith. We forget about using faith and the strength and the power that comes from faith to live a Christian life. We don't. And God is saying, don't get down. Don't let that ember go out. It may be a little bit dull today, but I'm going to fan it. And I'm going to put stuff on it, and it's going to be brought back to flame. Do you remember? Do you remember what it was like when you first received Christ? Man, I'm telling you, I could leap tall buildings in a single bound. I could outrun the fastest train, at least in my mind. And I didn't try. But I was on fire. And I couldn't wait to find somebody and to tell them that Jesus Christ is alive, that Jesus Christ lives in me, that He's a part of my life, and I'll never be the same. I didn't know myself all that was going to happen. I didn't know. I didn't know how God was going to use me. And sometimes that's where you're at. Here I am, Lord. Use me. I'm here, I'm waiting, use me. And He's sending all these little things your way. And you just got blinders on. Faith. Being sure of what we hope for. And certain of what we do not see. Set me down, hook me up to a lie detector. And ask me if I believe in God. I'll pass it every time. There is no doubt. And I'm certain of that. And I'm certain that in your life, no matter what's gone on in your life, no matter what's going on today or what you've been through, I know that God is at work in you. And maybe this morning, as we have this message, you don't feel like your faith is anything more than a glowing ember. Okay. Listen, I've been there. And there's others in this sanctuary that have been there. There's some of you that are there right now. And the words of being sure and being certain are powerful words. But how do we live these words? I can't see or hear or smell or touch or taste God, yet I know he's real. I know that he's got a plan for my life. He's got a plan for my home. He's got a plan for my future. He's got a plan for this church. Do you believe that? No, there's one. Do you believe that? And that's what we want. We have faith that God is at work in Laurel Street Community Church, building the people of Jesus Christ within the church so that they can be a part of building this community, so that they can be a part of seeing others share in the joy that exists in the lives of those who follow God. It's a part of it. I'm certain of that. He's got a plan. And when we get tired, our faith that was once burning in us and through us, it kind of goes cold. And we start questioning ourselves, and we question our confidence in God, and our confidence in him becomes weakened. And there's some sitting here today who have become so very tired in their walk of faith. And you know what? Here's the shame of this. There's some sitting here today that don't even know it. They don't even know it. And they find themselves in such a position of, this message isn't for me, because I still believe in God. I'm not talking about losing our belief in God. I'm talking about losing that flame of energy that says we are going to burn bright for God. Your faith isn't gone. It's just lost its flame. And it's not on fire the way it once was. Where's the energy? How does it play out in the real world? Well, you ask, how do I know? Or, you know, how do I believe these things? And I don't think really it's a fair question, because you do know, because you feel it inside. And those of you who are not walking close to God like you once walked, you know it today. You know it today. You know what's missing. And the idea today is that we're here to help. And when we let the fire turn to ember, one of the first things that happens is we kind of just back away. And so today, in figuring this out, I want to help you a little bit. Because if you're not sure about your flame, and you're not sure, is it an ember or not? We can usually look at about three things and find out. When the fire turns to ember, one of the first things that happens is our time being in church and our time serving God decreases. Other things begin to take priority over being in church. And instead of looking for ways to make the church, we start finding reasons not to go. And every time we find that reason to not go to church and to not fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, every time we make up that reason, we find that excuse to not be in church, listening to the Word of God and letting Him speak to our heart, a little bit more of the flame begins to die. Other things take priority. God somehow comes up second on our priority list. You know, over the years, I've heard story after story after story of why people don't go to church. Many years ago, a pastor came up and he said something to me about missed you in church. I knew who God was. But my response was this, because the flame was dull. And it was maybe a real ember at that time. And he came up and said, I missed you at church. And I just looked at him and I said, you know what? I just want you to know this. I'm offended. He said, well, why are you offended? I said, well, I was worshiping God Sunday. You were? I said, I sure was. I was sitting in my boat out on the lake and I was worshiping God in the great outdoors. He just looked at me and he smiled and he walked away. You want to know the truth? I was fishing. And I wasn't fishing for men. I might have been praying, but it was for big fish. My time in the great outdoors had nothing to do with worshiping God. But it sure became a good, handy excuse to keep the pastor off my doorstep. True story. That's nonsense. You know, the people say, I don't need to go to church to be Christian. Yes, that's true. But you do need to go to church if you want to be a Christian that is growing. If you want to be a Christian whose heart is on fire for God, if you want to be a Christian who knows that he's got brothers and sisters in Christ who have his back, yeah, you go to church. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering together of the saints for the purpose of worship. It's in there, folks. And we make up these excuses. Excuses. To not come to church. And then we wonder why we don't feel so close to God. The other ones, the ones that do come to church and they want to rush it. Okay, let's get the message over. I want to go, all right, Sunday school. Let's get done with Sunday school. Got to go home. You know what? If we don't hurry up, the Catholics are going to beat us to breakfast. I'm just picking on. Okay, I could have said the Baptist. Somebody asked me one time, why does our church service start at 9:15? And I said, because we wanted to be the first one to get the restaurants. Yes, T, I did. If you haven't figured it out by now, my friends, I'm pretty honest about things. God wants to be first. He wants your time with Him to be first. Anything you put in front of Him, anything you put before Him, and you're not going to like this, anything that you put before God that you say is, I'm not going to go to church because I got to do this, right? Anything you put out there, that's called an idol. Don't shoot the messenger. That is the word of God. And God will never, never, never accept anything less than first place in our life. But I got so much to do. You put God first and see how everything else falls in place. Another way to where I could look and see the flame burning to ember, and we see this happen is we see the amount of dust that's growing on the Bible. Oh, I read my Bible every day. Okay, do you study it? Do you dig in it to learn? Or do you just kind of read through it and see what you can do? Psalm 119, verse 130 says this, the unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The unfolding of your word. God has given us his word to study and to learn from. And it speaks to us every time we open it up. And the word of God takes and fans that spark and fans that flame. And we see it growing. Thy word. No, that's not the song we're singing. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not do what? Sin. All right, you didn't raise your hands again. That I might not sin against who? God. Your word, the word of God, I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I'm studying the Word, I'm learning the Word, I'm growing in the Word, but you know what? For too many people, the Bible is a paperweight. The Bible is a thing to put on the end to hold all the other books in place. The Bible is not something that they open up and study. We want the Word of God, and if we don't have the Word of God, if we're not placing that in our lives, and if we're not taking it in, let me tell you, the flame goes out. The flame goes out. Too often, when faith grows weak, our prayer life also suffers. I've heard people make the statement, why pray? God's not listening anyway. Folks, He always listens. And He always answers. It may not be the way that you want. It may not be in the time that you want it to. And that's where faith comes in, as we trust God for His answers. And another part of faith and trusting God for His answers is to realize that He has your best interest at heart. Did you know that? Sometimes He says no because He knows you better than you know you. Arlo Guthrie. There's an old song that he did. The words, you know, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches, I must make amends. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?" Now, I don't expect God to buy me a Mercedes Benz. If He wants to, that's fine. He's not sent that signal. But the thing is that when we pray, God hears our prayers, and He knows that probably Dennis would wreck the Mercedes Benz. Or even more so, He knows that if Dennis had the Mercedes Benz, He couldn't afford the parts to do repairs on the Mercedes Benz. I mean, God knows. And when He answers our prayers, He's going to answer them in our best interest, whatever that is. And so when we come to Him and we pray, we have to trust Him by faith to take care of us. A friend of mine. It saddened me. This individual was once on fire for God. I remember when he was saved. He carried his Bible. He held his head high. He shared Christ. He never missed church. It didn't matter if the doors were unlocked. He was there. Met his wife, got married. Life gets tough sometimes. And he just kind of fell apart. Actually, he left the church. He started falling back into some of his old ways and doing some of the things he had done years ago. And so I took time to ask him. I said, "Why? Why did you give up on what you were so confident in?" His answer, "You don't know what I've been through. And how could God do that to me?" As if his suffering was greater than anything anybody else had faced. As if his suffering was greater than the cross. But it hurt, because I see this person moving away from God, virtually wanting to reject God. The flame has gone to ember. Now, folks, I know that you have hard stuff in your life. And I know that it's easy even now to shut your ears down and not listen to a thing I say. But the more you resist Him, the harder you fight against Him, the tougher your life is going to be. Because God doesn't give up. And He's calling you. He's calling you. There are some people in the Bible that I want to share a little bit. It's found in Hebrews 11, actually, beginning with verse 3. And listen to these words about faith. It's kind of a lengthy reading. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Do you believe? Do you believe that God said, I will form this universe, that God said, okay, boom, and it happened? I do. I don't need any more proof than that. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And God looked and he said, I will create this world, and at his commands things came into being. I believe it. I also believe and know that the more that science tries to disprove this, the more that they actually do prove that it's true. I believe it. And through faith, I didn't have to be there and see God create the world. I've got it in his word. I can read his word and see how he created. I didn't have to be there. By faith, I believe. Then it says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. And by faith, his blood cries out as a righteous individual. And by faith, that still stands. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. Isn't that cool? You know? That to me just seems awesome. All of a sudden, you're here, poof, you're gone. Now, in a way, we do that, but we go through death in that process. But it's quick, because the Bible says to be absent in body is to be... Ed, what will you do a disruly class like this? Absent in body, be present with God. Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to believe God. Did you hear it? You got to have that faith. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that God is God and God is real. And that I don't have to see him to know that. By faith, I know that. And if I try to believe with anything else, it doesn't work. Prove to me that the Bible is what it is. Okay. Prove to me that you're who you say you are. You can't. Now, I'll have that discussion with anybody that wants to have it. But you absolutely cannot prove to me that you're who you say you are. It's just the way it works. The evidence will point to the fact that you are who you say you are, but you can't prove it. I believe by faith that God is who he says he is. Why? Because the evidence that is so true around me says God is who he says he is. And most importantly, by faith, I believe. Are you getting it? You see what needs to be going on inside? It's by faith. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of a righteousness that comes by faith. Noah built this big old boat. Why? it's going to rain. What's that? Hadn't rained on the earth. People, what? Go back and look it up. Do your study. What do you mean rain? Water's going to fall from the sky, huh? All the springs and rivers are going to flood. By faith, Noah, by faith, go out and build that ark. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. You know what? By faith, we're going to see a great city someday. A city that is beyond any that any architect could come up with here. And by faith, I believe, by faith, that city. Can you imagine to us streets that are paved with gold? How cool. And I don't think anybody's going to be out there trying to chip their little bit out of it. It's just pavement. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was assembled or was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. God made a promise. Abraham, you're going to be a father of a great nation. Your descendants are going to be beyond the numbers of the stars, and they're going to go on and... Hey, wait a minute. God, I love you, but you know how old I am? I'm getting up there in years, and you're telling me this. Have you considered my wife? She's kind of older, too, and we've never been able to have kids. But yet, God, if you tell me, then I believe you. Okay. By faith. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. Is that where you want to be? When we fall away, when this shell drops to the ground, don't you want to be living by faith? Listen, folks, it's hard sometimes. And so the question remains, and it is a personal question to you. And I want you to take a few minutes, and I want you to look at your own heart. To look inside yourself, and to look deep inside yourself. To wipe away pride and arrogance. Because right now there's no room for pride and arrogance. Not when we're being honest with ourselves and when we're being honest before God. Strip away the pride, strip away the arrogance, and don't worry about what anybody else thinks or anybody else sees or anybody else does. This is you and God, and in a moment you're going to have a conversation with Him. And God is looking down, I have no doubt He's looking down from heaven, and He sees the hearts of every person in this congregation, and He's looking at you and He says, how are you going to answer this question? And it's a very important question that you have to deal with. Be honest. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. This is you and God. And here's this question. Are you tired of trying? Are you tired of serving? Are you not walking as close to God as you used to? Something's missing. I've been kicked just too many times. God, you need to do a miracle, and you need to do it now. You need to change my life, and you need to change it now. Lord, I'm just a half a breath away of seeing that ember just burn completely out. If you said yes to the questions I was asking, then I want you to know that you can regain that faith that you once had. Do you remember? Can you think back to that first time you came to Christ? I remember it so well. I remember it so well. Do you remember the joy? Do you remember what it felt like when you got down on your knees and you knelt, and maybe it was at an altar, or maybe it was at a camp, or maybe it was somewhere totally different, but you got down on your knees? You know what? All pride was stripped away. And you said, God, here I am. I'm nothing. And you're everything. God, my life is empty. But I want what you've promised me. And I don't have all the answers. I don't know yet everything that's happening, but I know inside me I need to do something. God, what do I do? And you dropped to your knees and you bowed your head and you started out like this. Lord, here I am, a sinner. Wow. I know that I sin. I know that I don't live the life you want me to live. I know that I don't do the things you want me to do. And sin is destroying me, Lord. I need your forgiveness. And whatever that sin is or was, you came and you laid it at the altar of Christ. And you confessed to him. And you said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me. And help me to conquer that the sins I've had will not continue to rule my life. Lord, wash me in your blood. I want to be your child. I want to claim the promises that you've given. I want my life to be different because, God, I want to be who you want me to be. Do you remember that? Do you remember the faith that you had in believing? Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God. Faith, believing, hope and certainty. This morning, this is a time I'm going to ask you to be honest. And this morning, I want to ask you, is the flame still on? Or is it an ember? If you're here this morning, and I don't pretend to know everybody's heart, but if you're here this morning, maybe this whole ember and flame thing makes absolutely no sense to you. Because you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. But you know there's got to be something more. You know that there has to be something for your life. that it's not just by chance you're here. And this morning, maybe you're here and you're saying, I would like to have God in my life. I'd like to have Jesus in my life. Let me tell you something. God is just waiting for you to open your heart up to receive Him. For others, you've known God a long time. You really have. And you've been in the battle. You know the battle. You've seen what it is to have other people put you down because you believe. You know what it is to have to take a stand as a Christian. Man, you're tired. You've worked hard in the church. And you've been expecting great things to happen. But you're tired. You're tired. And you don't know if you got the strength to go any further. And you know what? You don't. But God does. And He's looking at you and He's saying, I will fan that spark to flame. All you have to do is trust me. All you have to do is by faith recommit to me and say, Lord, here I am. Let me start fresh. Let me start new. Let me start knowing that you are God and you're looking down on me and you care for my heart and you care for my family and my faith. God, here I am. I'm coming back to you, Lord. I know I've walked away. I know I've done my thing. I know that I'm not who I should be and I'm not walking the way I should. God, I'm coming to you today. Come into my life. You need to recommit so that that flame of faith burns bright. Sherry, could you come and just sit at the piano, just something nice and easy? She was standing back there, so I had to call on her. We haven't done this for a while. And my prayer is that God right now is moving through this congregation. My prayer right now is that God's touching your heart. That He's looking at you and He's saying, you need the flame. It's time. And He's saying, it's time for you to renew that faith with me. For you to take a stand before man and say, I am a Christian. I'm not defeated. I may be tired, but it's time to be energized. I'd love to be able to call you out by name, but I'm not God. But my prayer right now is that God is touching your heart. I remember a time when I wasn't where I needed to be with God, and a pastor stood up in front and he said, I'm going to ask people to come down and I'm going to ask them to bow. I couldn't tell you what that pastor talked about. But I knew this, my heart wasn't where it needed to be with God because it wasn't playing out at home. It wasn't playing out at the job. I was angry and doing things I didn't need to be doing. And I needed God to get that turned around in me. And so I went forward. I feel like I was stuck to that seed and I shall not be moved was my song. But the angel of the Lord grabbed me and he says, Dennis, it's time. And I pray that God is touching you right now, that you are wanting to recommit your life to Him. And at this time, I'm going to ask, it's not going to be any waving our hands, it's not going to be any bowing our eyes. I'm going to ask right now, will you step up? Will you step up and come to this altar and kneel and pray? This is you and God. Kneel and pray and say, God, here I am. I'm coming back to you, Lord. I want what I once felt. I need that. I need that. Will you come? It's open right now. Don't stay in your seat if God's calling you. God is saying, come back to me. Bring whatever ember you have and reignite it. Come. Oh, don't be stubborn, my friends. Don't be stubborn. Don't be so arrogant or prideful that you can't get out of your seat. You know you need to. You know you want to. But for whatever reason, you're resisting. And God is saying, come. Come unto me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is light, and my burden is light. You want that relationship with God that you should have? This is where it begins, right here today. Now, maybe you're sitting here today, and you've never really made that step of coming before God and asking Him into your life. Maybe some of the stuff I said today didn't quite make sense to you, but you know that God is real and that by faith He's there for you. And maybe this morning you want to come and you want to just ask Jesus into your life. And if this is what you desire to do, I'd ask you to come. I want to be able to stand down and to pray with you. I want to be able to just help you to be able to lift through it, go through a prayer and say, God, here I am. A sinner, and I need you. As Sherry plays, I'm going to step down. I'm going to pray with these that have come. But the altar's still open. It's not closed. And God is still calling. He's calling to you. Won't you come? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful, Father, for the work you're doing in your life.